international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello. Well, is your day starting off bright and sunny with attitude, or are you, when you turn the alarm off, you go, oh, please, do I have another day? I have to get up and go to this job. Oh, well, I've got news for you. My guest today, Hans Schumann, who, by the way, has called in from England, his book, which I think is amazing, is called Falling in Love with Your Job. Now, why do you want to fall in love with your job? Well, when you fall in love with your job, whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to find that when the alarm goes off, you go, woohoo, I'm getting up and I'm getting ready to go. Is it as easy as it sounds? Well, I think we're going to find out from Hans some wonderful tips and suggestions that can empower you as an individual to really take charge of your attitude about your work and your life. Hans Schumann, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Hans, I want to ask you where you're calling in from in England. Are you in London?
Yes, I am in London.
Ah. Now, you are a transformational career and life coach. You have a background that, as far as I'm concerned, is extraordinarily disciplined. You were involved in law and financial services, but you went through some pretty tough stuff that got you to think. Why is it we human beings need to get kicked in the teeth before we go, ah, I think I need to reevaluate things? What is it with us that we don't get it?
Because we just love the comfort zone so much. And very often, people like me only really move and change if the pain becomes so severe that they have actually no choice. And that certainly was the case with me, because I was in the golden cage of corporate life. I had a great salary. I had status. I got intellectual stimulation. But it really wore me down. And there were lots of warning signals that I didn't listen to, and it took me a 2-year-long health crisis to really wake up and connect to what I really want to do with my life.
Too often, we look at our bodies and ignore them. We just assume that they are automatically going to do what we want them to do. Mm. We're inundated with all kinds of thoughts about what should be. And here you are. Anybody looking at you would have said, oh, you're so lucky. Oh, my goodness, you're so lucky. Meanwhile, your guts were rotting. And that sounds rather gross, I know. But you were in extraordinary pain. You were in such serious health situation. You spent thousands and thousands of dollars on all kinds of methodologies and everything else. What was it that finally got your aha together?
Well, first of all, I would like to say it sounds like a tragedy, but it was a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I really needed that health crisis to reconnect to my natural flow of energy. So often those kind of crises turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a position where all the medication that Western medicine has to give me failed. And also the experimental and alternative treatments had all failed. And I was in hospital, and I got a message from somebody who reminded me of the law of attraction. And I changed my approach. I changed my mental attitude, my mental state. I realized that my whole mental focus was on disease and on depression. And I realized that to become healthy, I first have to change my mental state. So I did a lot of meditation, visualizing myself being healthy again, created new reasons to become healthy for, new dreams, and visions. And, you know, I can't prove that that really cured me, but I bet it has at least facilitated the healing process. Just after a few days, my medical test results, which at that day, at that point were taken daily, started to improve, and a few weeks later, I got out of hospital.
I can relate to what you went through, because I've had experiences in my own life where when I was in the wrong place, I had physical conditions that resulted, and then consequently, like you said, it's a wake-up call. And for anyone who's listening to this, I don't care what your cultural background is. I don't care whether you're male or female. The mind-body-spirit connection is really important. Now, you became aware that your values had to be examined. And one of the things that I like about your book, Falling in Love with Your Job, is that you're taking a positioning where the individual is able to make assessments, but they're dealing with themselves. You really have to wake up to the fact that if something isn't right or isn't working, there needs to be a self-evaluation. And you used coaches and you went through all kinds of things, but it really took getting down to the bare bones of what meant the most to you, didn't it?
That's true. I believe that when it comes to job satisfaction, it's co-created with our employer. And we really need to sit down and think about what do we want from our career and what do we want from our life in general. And I believe that if we find out what we value most, then we are able to connect our natural flow of energy when things become easier and inspiring and exciting. And for me, I don't ever think this really was the law. It was personal growth. Since my teenage years, I've been going to the library, getting books, reading about personal growth, going to retreats, having my own coaches, love talking to my friends, helping them with their problems. But I never thought that could be a job. I did the sensible thing that everybody told me was a sensible thing, studying, taking on a reputable profession, and going for stability and safety, security, and financial security.
When we really have a chance to ask ourselves what is most important to us, my goodness, when we're young, we haven't a clue. I know there's a few floaters out there in life in every generation that know what they want to do when they grow up. But in general, we don't have enough life experience to really say, yes, I like this, I don't like that. You know, we do about mundane things. But it really takes getting out in life and assessing things because we have to have some experience. And this is what you went through, being able to really face yourself. And you talk about a D-Martini, determination, a value determination process. How was this helpful to you, and what is this D-Martini value determination process?
That was really life-changing for me. Dr. John DeMartini is a human behavior specialist. Some people may know him from the film The Secret. And he developed this process that helps us establish what we value most in life. And it does so by looking for actual evidence in our life. Because if something is really important, then I should be able to spot it by looking at how you live. So the process looks at questions like, what do you always find time for, even if you're short on time? What do you always spend money on, even if you don't really have the money, you shouldn't spend the money? What do you think about most? What do you, where are you most organized? Where do you feel most inspired in your life? And if you take these little pieces of evidence together, then you will see themes of where you naturally already flows towards naturally. And if we connect to that, that gives us the information what we need to do in our life to leveraging it.
I think that's very, very true. You have interestingly enough, in the sort of the beginning of your book, a statement of you need to create your personal mission in life. Well, we all know about business missions, but personal mission? Now, that's a whole different thought process. Was this part of the DeMartini process that you evolved with? How did you come to this? Because I think it's significant.
I mean, personal mission statement, it's not a new idea. And I read about it first in Stephen Covey's book. I can't remember the title now, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And the idea is that we can really decide what we want our life to be about. And if we know what we want to devote our life to, then we can actually plan for it rather than letting life happen to us. And you mentioned corporate statements, mission statements, and isn't it funny that we kind of give in to living the corporate mission of our employer, but it's our own life. Shouldn't we first think about what do I want my life to be about? And then find an employer who can help me pursuing my personal mission in life. So the job is on the path of my mission in life. And I find that a really valuable work, and the DeMartini process helps us starting this by finding out what is most important to us in life. And once we know that, we can turn that into a personal mission statement that defines how we want to live, what we want to have, who we want to be, so and so on.
I sincerely appreciated a comment about how people feel. And your sections dealing with emotions and attitudes at work. We all know about whiners and complainers in the job market, and any one of us at any time can be in that positioning ourselves. We're unhappy with this, that, or the other. I sincerely appreciated the fact that you said, be aware. Are you paying attention to what's going on? Are you willing to be engaged in your environment? If it is not healthy, if it's not positive, then why are you staying there? Mm. And there has to be that integrity with the self. And I appreciate it also where you said we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves if we're engaged in any kind of negative behavior, what we're running from. Now, I don't find many people wanting to address that. I had a client I was on the phone with just yesterday that has been running and running and running for years, and it's sad, but this person is a mature individual, and they're not stupid, but they seem to be on a hamster's wheel. We all do this at one time or another. What is it going to take to break that?
It's just more comfortable. I mean, I know exactly those type of persons, and I actually was like them at one point. I just talked to a woman who read one of my articles about falling in love with your job, and she told me, well, Hans, no, why should I love my job? I hate my job. And the reason why people do this, if we actually accept that we have a choice and that it's up to us to create a job that we love, it means we are responsible for it. We have to take action.
Uh-huh.
And some people just feel more comfortable staying in an environment that they know and that they perceive as secure and complain and get the satisfaction out of being a victim than taking the risk of trying something different, because it does come with risk.
Yes, it does. There's no safety net, as far as I can see, in life. You take each day as it's given to you. And some days are going to be good, other days are not going to be good. And I think, too, and you bring this out, sometimes we're in job situations, we have an opportunity to learn certain skills, and we say, okay, what's the best in this? How can I take where I am and leverage it so I can either be more appreciated and have the opportunity for advancement if that's what I really want? Or what do I really want? Where do I want to go? But be grateful for what you have, because sometimes in life we do have to have those bread and butter jobs, and there's no such thing as a lousy job, really. A job is something you can make it or break it. in your own mind. This has a lot to do with what you try to promote in the book, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was working in financial services, the products of the company never really interested me that much. But I knew for as long as I'm in the game, I can just as well play the game well, because nothing is more dire than to just be a bystander. I do have professional pride, so if I am in a job, even if it's not my dream job, I want to do my best, and it actually I find it more enjoyable if I participate at that level.
You have various sections in your book, and the one on prioritization made me chuckle, because I remember something said to me many years ago. I was sort of complaining. It was a boyfriend I had at the time, and I said, oh, you know what, there's this, that, or the other, and I'm not very good at this, that, or the other. And he said, the only reason, Donnie, you're not very good at it is that you don't like it. You just don't have an interest in it. He said, this is you, what you really love. He said, you do, don't you? And he said, you excel at it, don't you? And I went, yeah. He said, so don't focus on the stuff you don't like. Focus on what you do like. Those words were expressed to me so many years ago. And his observation was exactly correct. And prioritization goes along with that. We end up doing what we really want to do. And you say pay attention to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Some clients come to me and they want help because they think they are lazy. They're not doing what they plan to do. But they're never really lazy. They're just not motivated. Mm-hmm. If you look at other areas in their life that reflects what is most important to them, they're suddenly very disciplined, like going to the gym at 6:30 in the morning every day. So when we procrastinate or we feel that we are lazy, it's just useful information that tells us our priorities aren't quite right at the moment.
And those priorities can change, but it's extremely important that we do. And throughout your book, you have the opportunities for people, and they need to be by themselves somewhere. They're not doing this to please anybody else. It's really to become acquainted with themselves. And you yourself went through this kind of a process. And another section that made me go, this is something I think anybody who is a productive person relates to, and that's perfectionism. Holy Moses. Boy, is that something that really can drive you up a wall, because it doesn't exist. As far as I've learned, it doesn't make any difference. Sometimes I feel like that's really, you know, I have failed. I know many, many, many people that feel the same way. Oh, you didn't do this right, or that's wrong, or the other. And you get to a point where you have to say, wait a minute, this is the best I've got right at the moment. Let's move on. This is a tough thing to get past.
I agree. And it's actually one of the main things I still struggle with from time to time. And the reason why we find it so difficult to drop our perfectionism is because we actually get a lot of benefits out of it. It drives us to perform, to achieve, to exceed. But at the same time, we are giving ourselves such a hard time, and we are losing enjoyment in life. So it is really about managing the perfectionist, maybe getting some of the positives, but not letting it rule our life.
I think that's very important. When it comes to the work environment, there is so much fear. So much fear. And I think if someone can look at the job environment as an adventure and realize that they're not stuck, then they will have the opportunity to expand into something within themselves that they didn't know that they had. This is really meaning we have to have integrity with ourselves. Why isn't this taught in business school? Why isn't this taught in colleges, in high schools, in elementary schools? It's almost as if we are put into a box, and then we're told to do a particular tap dance, and if you don't tap the dance, then you're going to be out of the box, and that's not a good thing. That's so wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an answer to that, but I think it's actually changing, and it's particularly changing in corporations who become more aware of the values of that work and who make courses available to their staff or even personal coaching, because nothing is more valuable than a member of staff who is intrinsically motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, we used to motivate staff by throwing money at them and benefits and holidays and maybe free coffee in the cafeteria. But none of this will really work if the person doesn't want to be at work. And if we help that employee to see how the work, as I said before, helps them support their own chosen mission in life, then you get that intrinsic motivation, and it's so much stronger. And corporations are starting to see that.
I think so. And then also, I think for anyone that has employees, what is it that the employees are really good at? What do they like to do? What do they feel good about? And that's where your book, Falling in Love with Your Job, has so many different perspectives to it. Now, that's a big word, perspective. We all have our attitudes and perspectives. I repeat the word for a reason. But sometimes those perspectives are skewed. Our emotions paint pictures that just are not real, and we can make a shift. Richard Bandler is a man that I have a deep regard for, and you bring him up in your book. The generation of emotions, let's address this, because this has a lot to do about your job, where it is you want to be, what you're even doing right now at this moment.
Yeah, emotions is a complex and fascinating topic, because on the one hand, they're really friends because they guide us through life. They're an emotional guidance system that helps us. But at the same time, all emotions are linked to an imperfect perception of reality, because we have limited ways of perceiving reality, and we have a process in our brain that interprets and tries to make sense out of our environment. What we perceive often isn't really the actual reality, and that's where our emotions are triggered by maybe a slightly distorted perception of reality. In the work context, that becomes relevant when we interpret how other people perceive us, how they think us about us. Our boss maybe frowns, and we make a whole story about out of that. He doesn't like me. He thinks I'm not good at my job, and it creates anxiety. So becoming aware of our emotions and looking at them in more depth can actually help us dealing with those situations more effectively.
I agree. There's a marvelous section in your book that's titled Your Life Outcomes, and I found this extremely interesting because you have a questionnaire and you say you want to create rather than finding your dream job. And I went, this is very, very powerful, thinking outside of the box. And then your dream job formula. This is an encapsulation of something that I think is extraordinarily significant. What is the dream job formula?
It's a very simple process to explore what a dream career could look at. And it starts by writing down a list of all the things that we love doing, the things that we would do even if we weren't paid for. The second list would then be all the things that we are good at. And often there's an overlap, but not necessarily. And if we then combine those lists and establish the things that we love doing and that we're also good at, then the next question is, who needs exactly those things that we love doing and we are good at? What kind of company, what kind of industry, what kind of customer? And that gives us an idea of how a dream job could look like. And the reason why I think this is such a beautiful formula, because the way this then works is the more we love what we do, the better we become at it. And the better we become at it, the more people will want it. And the more people want it, the more we love it. So it becomes this positive upward spiral of job satisfaction. And that's what I call a dream job.
You also have a section on answering questions about having a healthy life balance. I think sometimes we get so indoctrinated that we've got to be busy 24 hours a day when really, when we step away and go, no, I think I'm taking the day off, I'm going to go fishing. Or for me, I love to go shopping. So whatever it is that you do, and you just step away from the computer, you step away from the emails, you step away from everything. I knew a man once that one day a week, this was a religious thing that he did. And when I say that, I'm saying it in the form of discipline. For one day a week, it happened to be a Wednesday, nobody knew where he was. He would spend time with his family. He said, this is my time. And he had an assistant. He said, I don't care if somebody's going to drop a bomb on the neighborhood. I'm not interested. I am not available. And this gave him a day to refresh. And he was just going all the time. But this was a decision he made, and he stuck to it religiously. Because he said, if I don't, I am not going to be able to do what I need to do the rest of the days of the week. And I've always thought he was a great example.
Yeah, and there are two parts of it. One is just that many people have a desire to have different areas in their lives satisfied, not just work.
Mm-hmm.
But the other element is, because some people actually love work so much, it is their passion, it is their legacy, that they don't really feel the desire to do the other things. But even if that's the case, we do need those periods where we can recoup our energy, because otherwise we burn out, even if it is a link to our passion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Now, the various exercises, which again is between the individual and God, I like to say, this is something that can really be eye-opening, and people can go to your website, loveyourjobbook.com, and they'll find out about it. But you give such wonderful tips on places to go to do an assessment of your strengths and your weaknesses. You have that. There's really a lot of, I think, very significant thoughtfulness that has been expressed in your book. And by your sharing your own personal story of what your wake-up call was and what you went through, I think it really gives an insight into understanding we don't have to be stuck. We really can make some changes and choices, but it all boils down to a level of, are you willing to invest in yourself, and what's your sense of personal responsibility, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I made this a career self-coaching book because that's what people understand. They understand career issues, but it is really about our life. All the tools and processes in the book are about creating a life that we really love, and then how to thrive in it and to enjoy it to the fullest extent possible.
I really enjoyed the very last section in your book about people that made career changes later on in life. So often we think it's all for the younger individual. And do you know, there are so many people that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, even in their 80s, that are developing career opportunities. And you bring that out in your book. I just thought that was fabulous, because we're all living so much longer. You don't need to feel that you're supposed to, after the age of 60 or 55, whatever somebody is going to dictate, that that's the end of your life. It's just the beginning. And all of what you've attained in life and learned can be leveraged to work for you, not against you. Hans Schumann, I'm so grateful that you've been able to be with me today. I know you're in London and the time difference is tremendous, but thank you for taking time out of your busy and successful schedule to be with me today. Falling in Love with Your Job is a great book.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a delight. Hans Schumann, and that's S-C-H-U-M-A-N-N, but go to his website, loveyourbook.com. and you will find out more about this fabulous book. It really is like a do-it-yourself project. It is, but you'll be a lot richer because of it. Donna Sebo here, 253-582-5597. Give me a call if you'd like to chat.
You're listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you'd like to have an opportunity to be featured on this program or Warriors for Peace heard Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, please send a copy of your publication along with your contact information to The Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Lakewood, Washington 98497. Please allow 6 to 8 weeks for review of the publication. Again, the mailing address is Post Office Box 97272, Lakewood, Washington 98497.
Donna Sebo here. Yes, authors abound, and I'll tell you what, I dearly love the diversity of what I present on this program, because there are so many different ways that we can be engaged in life. I, in a million years, never ever thought that I was going to be a broadcaster having my own international programming. That was something years ago that was not even in my head. But various life experiences, doing different types of work, police work and insurance work and being an executive secretary. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And I look back on it, and there was a single thread that ran through all of the job positionings that I held through the years, and that was communication. No matter what job I was in, no matter what my responsibilities were, the understanding of how to communicate and how to communicate effectively always was in the forefront. And like my guest today, it seemed like I was a counselor from the time I was just a little shaver. But these are things that we have to pay attention to. And that is so important. Do you know, many times we do not even acknowledge our own strengths, because the strengths are something that we enjoy doing. We do it without thinking, so we don't put value on it. And often those attributes that we may have, and I'll just use me as an example, I'm not a whiz kid with technology. And for heaven's sakes, you'd never want me to be a mechanic on your car. I got news for you. It would never run for its entire lifetime. I have a magic touch that just seems to do funny things to equipment, and I just don't have that processing that would make me good at it. Could I do it? Yes. Am I doing it? Heck no. I want someone that really likes doing it, that is going to have pleasure in it, and I'm delighted to be able to pay them to do what I don't care to do, because I know I'm not that good at it. So when we can take the time and really ask ourselves questions without listening to anybody else's opinions, without getting bogged down with all kinds of you shouldas, it would have been better if you'd done this, couldas, gottas, all of these different attitudes, and really have integrity with ourselves, oh, my goodness, the turnaround is amazing. And I think being aware of what is most important to us is significant, because we're all different. And that's what I love about doing this show. I love showcasing people. I love seeing the diversity. My goodness, life would be so dull and uninteresting if we all did the same thing. But think of the stories you'd miss about all of these different people, the different journeys they've taken, what they've had to go through to be able to have integrity with themselves. It should be inspiring to you. You should recognize that as an individual, you're here for the purpose of making the world that we live in a better place. Doesn't make any difference if you're not rich and famous. So often those that are, they find their lives are very, very interesting. Interestingly empty. People look at what the illusion is, but they never take time to find out about what really goes on in the background of the human being that's being recognized in so many ways. Life is a tremendous teacher. And at many times, life can be a very stern taskmaster, and we wonder, can we survive it all? Yes, you can. If you are able to look at your life and empower yourself and say, wait a minute, I don't like this particular script. I'm going to rewrite a new one. And instead of being afraid of what change might bring, being able to embrace change with an understanding that if you don't like what you've gotten into, ask yourself, what do I need to change? And usually the answer is yourself. Believe me, I've talked with people that repeatedly say the same thing over and over again. I've known some of these individuals for 10 years, 15 years. Some of them have been clients. And it's so ingrained, they're on what I'd call a rut, big time. And whenever you bring the attention to the rut that they've created, it's like it's something brand new. I didn't realize I was doing that. And as my guest said, so many times we get so comfortable with being in the ruts we're in that to get out of the rut, it's not fun. There's a delightful little story. And by the way, if you want to give me a call, 253-582-5597 is the number to call into. There's a delightful story that I heard many years ago. And it was told by a minister, Reverend Hornaday. He's since passed on, but he told this story, and it just lodged in my brain. And it's about a bunch of little frogs. Well, they must have been living in the Pacific Northwest because the weather was gray, overcast, constantly raining, storm, snow, you name it, that's what it was. Well, the little froggies were stuck in their little burrows of types, and they were just hopefully waiting for the sun to shine. Well, guess what? Even in the Pacific Northwest, it does come out periodically. So, sure enough, the sunrise, the sun was beginning to show its brightness, and all of the little frogs get very excited. And so they're out and about, and they're hopping here and they're hopping there. Yes, there's a lot of water, but as the sun rises in the sky and the day gets warmer, guess what? Those puddles began to dry up. So that meant they could hop in a whole bunch of different directions, and they were thrilled. So all of these little froggy persons are out there having a great time. And then the day, as always, starts to end and the sun is beginning to set. Well, they've got to get back to their pond. They've had a wonderful day. The sun's been out. It's been glorious. Well, on their way back to the pond, they find out one of their fellow frogs is stuck. And he's stuck in the mud. Oh, my goodness. They pull on him. They say, we've got to get you out. But they're not able to do it because the sun, loitered too long in one spot, and he ended up being dried out, stuck in dried out mud. Well, all of his froggy buddies decided, we've got to get back to the pond. We cannot stay out here. We'll be back for you at first light in the morning. So they had to leave him. They had no way of getting him out and not enough time to do anything. So they all go back to their pond. The next morning, the sun is up, it's bright, it's shining, and the little froggies go out immediately. The first sign of light, immediately, to their buddy that was stuck in the mud. Do you know they can't find him anywhere? They can look high and low, and then suddenly, one of the frogs say, I found him! And all the little frogs rush to where their friend is, and he's sitting up with a big grin on his face on a rock. All of them just were stunned. They clamored about him and said, how did you do it? We left you last night. We couldn't do anything. How in the world did you save yourself? You don't look like you're injured at all. What happened? Beaming down on them, with his froggy smile, he said, I had to do something. A truck was coming. I know you don't want a truck in your life. But sometimes, just like with my guest, and I can speak to it from personal experience, we get so stuck. And until situations demand that we resolve where we are, until we're uncomfortable enough, we don't do anything. And that's the moral of the froggy story. When you see the truck coming, you're going to have to do something. Otherwise, you're going to get run over. Donna Sebo here, 253-582-5597. Quickly, I want to let you know who's coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the overwhelmed brain. Paul Coliani is going to be my guest. Then we're going to be talking about lupus with Millie Dietrichs. And it's Befriending the Wolf. Edward Villon is Ordinary Goodness. Oh, and there's so much of that out there. And then Journeys of Transformation with Sheila Baker. We are going to be visiting with her as well. Now, before you know it, the first of the month is going to be coming up. And if you would like to get a copy of my newsletter that goes out right at the first of the month with a listing of guests, etc., where there's a lot of good positive stuff, by golly, all you have to do is go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, or Mrs. Sebo's Classics, and sign up for the email newsletter. And we will definitely make sure that you get it on the first of every month. And you can also go into the archives, not just for my radio show. Yes, the Donna Sebo Show programs are there. You can go in and listen to any program that is your heart's desire to listen to. And that is available. But we archive also the newsletters. So if you want to go back and peruse and check out any newsletters, all you have to do is go into my website. That's right, Delphi International and Mrs. Sebo's Classics.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, because my wonderful associate, Deb, every day she's going to send out multiple postings so that you're kept aware of where I'm appearing and what I'm doing, including an appearance tomorrow evening for those of you in the state of Washington. I am going to be appearing at Lou J. Free's showcase in Federal Way at the Clarion Hotel. And I'm there from between 5 and 5:30, depending on traffic and when I'm able to get there. But I'm there for many sessions up until 7 o'clock when I'm the keynote speaker. So I invite you to come on out. It's a wonderful, wonderful environment. And I want to take the opportunity to thank all of the people at the Emerald Spiral Expo this past Saturday. It was a wonderful event. I want to thank those that came out and said hello and talked about how they enjoyed the programming, etc. It really meant a lot. It was a wonderful day, just packed with all kinds of great people, and to Astara and her team that made the event absolutely wonderful. It was great. So there's some information for you. I believe we have a caller, and we're going to find out right now. Hi, this is Donna. Are you calling into the show?
Yes, I am. My name is Tina, and I'm from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Hi. Oh, that's a beautiful part of the country. Oh, my goodness. It's just gorgeous there. All right. Tina, first thing that I wanted to say to you is be sure you give yourselves enough time to rest and relax. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that my perception is you have so much stress and you're one of these people that internalizes your stress. You don't like talking about your business with other individuals and you feel that this is your job. You've got to take care of your own stuff. Well, there are times, Tina, that we need to open up and let people know what's going on in our lives. And if we need help, we need some guidance, we reach out for it. And it's very important you keep this in mind, because there is nothing that is going on that cannot be resolved. This is a year for you, Tina, where you are waking up to an awareness that for you to make a shift in your life, you're going to have to really get down to basics, look at the basics, and then ask yourself, do you want to invest in some training, education, a certification course of some kind? And I would say most definitely. But right now, within this time frame that I'm looking at, you need to basically isolate yourself for maybe an hour or two at a time. Good place to go is a public library. Get a conference room and really start journaling and answering questions that you have, and knowing when you don't know things and what you do need to learn or know, and then reaching out to people that can help you. It is really going to turn your life around. This is a year for not only questioning, but for evaluating your priorities, looking at what's going on in your life, facing it honestly without any fear, and then taking the steps, baby steps, to make the shifts and changes that you want. There is a lot going on, but there's a great deal that's going on in your life that other people have brought into your space. This is your time to clean up things that you don't want in your space, saying goodbye to what no longer is necessary. This is a powerful year for you. It may not seem like there is a lot going your way, but there really is. And you need to be awake and mindful, because the changes and shifts that are significant to you are going to be actually brought to your attention in very significant ways. And if you look at it with clarity, take the time to be alone, and think things through, your resolve is incredible. And once you make up your mind to do something, Tina, you go for it. What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me about?
Well, I was just concerned about my thyroid gland. I've been having some problems, not sleeping and gaining some weight. And the doctor just said that my thyroid antibodies were a little high. So I'm just wondering.
All right. What I want you to do, I want you to do some research. And your doctor has looked at a test, and that test is important. But I'd also like for you to explore some alternative methods of dealing with your thyroid so that you can work with your body. I think there are some other issues related to the thyroid. You've mentioned a couple with the sleep and some other things. But I think that there are other issues that you need to look at, and you need to realize that even though you're a mature woman, the body can be helped in a very special way. So I'd like to encourage you to find a naturopath and to really, really investigate. You can go on the internet, and there's a lot of information on the internet. Just read, inform yourself, but look at the other forms of testing that can evaluate the looking at the body as a total unit, not just the thyroid all by itself, but looking at your entire physiological self. And there are ways of doing that. And I think you're going to find a resolution, and it probably will take about a month or two to really get everything nailed down. But once you do, then I think you're going to have some options to work with. And yes, your metabolism definitely will change because if the thyroid is not operating in what would be considered a balanced way, that can be a side effect. But remember, you're wanting to look at your whole physiological well-being and the tie-in with the thyroid with the rest of your body. So I think you're going to resolve this, and I think it's going to be resolved in a way that may surprise you. But ask people that are involved in the area of specialty, as well as someone in the naturopathic environment or the Ayurvedic environment, Chinese medicine. Let's explore different things, because you may find something that's going to fit you and fit you very well. Am I making sense to you?
Yes, you are. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. How'd you learn about the show?
Oh, I've been listening to you for a long time now. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
And I love all your guests you have on. It's so informative.
I'm delighted. Thank you so much, and pass the word along to your friends.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Bye-bye. Donna Sebo here, and we are going to be back with you in just a moment. Remember, the number to call into is 253-582-5597.
Warriors for Peace is a weekly broadcast hosted by Donna Sebo. Leaders from all walks of life and professions from around the world, including those who have served to protect one of our most priceless gifts of life, freedom, speak to the issues of the day. Join us Wednesdays, 11 a.m. to noon, Pacific Time.
Wednesdays are a doubleheader. There's a Donna Sebo show from 9 to 10 in the morning, and as mentioned, Warriors for Peace from 11 until noon. I always love history, as those of you that are regular listeners know, and Helena Page, who is calling in from the U.S. Embassy in Ethiopia, is going to be my guest. This American woman has done an awesome job about documenting information about women aviators in the Second World War. Sisters in Arms is the title of this publication. It is an amazing publication, and boy, does it educate you about the differences in cultures, environments, even Russian women aviators, what they went through. So I hope that you will join me. Let's check and see if I've got a listener here on the line. Hello, this is Donna. Are you calling into the show?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Your first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Steve from Toronto.
Well, Steve, I'm delighted that you're on the air with me. And Toronto, oh my goodness, what a glorious place that is. It's growing like weeds. I mean, it's just amazing the changes that have occurred there. All right, let's get down to business with you. Now, Steve, I know that you do not hesitate when it's necessary to isolate yourself. I think that meditation for you is something that's very comfortable. You delight in it. But there is something driving you right now. And it is a part of you that's saying, I cannot sit still for very long. I must be engaged in something that is going to allow me to communicate what I know can be very useful to other people. I'd like for you to never give up on that, but I want you to be open to the fact that maybe a good way for you to sort of test the waters with what you want to do is to do little presentations before different groups that are of a different mindset. Could be different ages even. Maybe doing something with some school kids. Because what is happening here is that you are expanding as an individual. And you realize that if you don't grow at this time, all of this agitation that you feel is going to compound. You're a man of action, but you like to think about what you need to do and make sure that everything is very organized. And I would like for you to become acquainted with the side of yourself that's very spontaneous. You have a rich amount of knowledge, and you really sincerely care about people and the world around you. And I want to say, start small, start right where you are. Don't worry whether you have two people or 2,010 in front of you. I want you to be heart authentic because it makes a difference. And it doesn't mean that you become a doormat for anybody. It just means that when you're communicating with people, you come from that authenticity within you. And Steve, it is going to touch people in a very special way. You're a very private individual, and you are learning how what you have to offer as a person can really empower other people. So don't be afraid to take the baby steps, and realize that you're also going to be going in for some kind of a certification. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be, but you will recognize it, and I think these next 2 years, just by your stepping outside of your comfort zone, you are going to discover that there is a very rich part of yourself that is open and available to share, and you don't need to be afraid of being vulnerable. The vulnerability actually will give you what I call clout, because there will be that sense of safety that people will have because of what you communicate. I don't know if that's making sense to you, but I think you have got a lot on the ball, Steve. I really do. And I have no doubts about the shifts and changes that are coming into your life within, I'd say, starting September the 9th of this year, going through October the 15th of next year. But you're pulling things together, Steve. Don't be impatient with small beginnings. Do you have a question for me?
First, thank you very much. Actually, I'm amazed at how many things you touched on that that have been on my mind. I do have a specific question. A little bit different topic, just more about my personal life.
Sure.
Someone who I used to date about a year ago contacted me telling me that she had several illnesses and was looking for help. And I said, well, okay, if you need help, let me know. And I haven't heard from this person in several weeks. So I was kind of baffled by this communication. So I was looking for some insight.
Can you give me her first name or initial?
N.
All right. With N, when you started talking about her, I felt such deep grief and pain. I think that N reached out to you. I think there is a bond between the two of you, and she is going through a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties. I don't know that she's going to contact you again. If you have her phone number and you can give her a call and ask her, can you meet for a cup of coffee or whatever, her life literally, she feels, is shredded. It has fallen apart. And some of it is her own doing. Other parts of it is this grief that I'm feeling when I'm focusing on N is so deep. There's almost this attitude, is life worth living? And of course it is. But I think that she has suffered so much disillusionment in her life. It is very, very difficult for her to be able to come into a positioning where she can feel that life is a positive experience. So if you do have her phone number, you might want to give her a call and say, I'm concerned. You called me and I said I'd be happy to help you. Can you tell me what's going on? And just be a good listener. Be a good listener. Don't judge, just listen. But if you can, meet with her in person. Now, it's not your job to be the garbage can receptacle for all of her anxieties and pains and worries and tears. Just be a good listener. You are empathic, but you need to be aware that this is someone more than anything else that just needs someone to listen to her. She already knows what she needs to do. And she's very much aware of it. But she's been running from the realities of certain life experiences. And this was the challenge that you had with her in some respects because she was very, very needy. Am I correct here?
100%.
All right. The neediness is like that of a child wanting someone to insulate, protect, and isolate so that you can live in a utopia. A utopia does not exist. But you are very compassionate, and being able to be a good listener is very important. So if it's by phone or even in person would be better. Just know this is not your job, but being a good listener may help her see what she needs to do. But she has got a very, very difficult road to follow. But I think the trust that she has in you, and I think she deeply cares for you. But again, she's always running, and there's no quick fix to what's going on. Does it make sense what I've said?
Yes, it does.
All right. Steve, I know that you're very compassionate. We're just about out of time here, so I'm not going to be able to continue. But thank you very much for calling in today, and do tell your friends about the program.
I will. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Steve. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, it goes by so quickly, doesn't it? It's always my delight to be able to share the different people with you, and it makes me feel so good when so many of you will send me videos or points of information you'd like for me to be aware of, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for doing that, because there's so much I don't know. There's so much out there in this world that's wonderful, exciting, interesting. There's just so many adjectives we could use. But you know what's most important is to be able to share the knowledge. You could be a genius. Who cares? If you don't share what you know, what difference is it going to make in someone's life? I like to think this show might make a difference in your life and perhaps the life of a friend or a loved one. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless, be well, and more than anything else, have a fabulous day and put a smile on your face and being grateful for all the blessings you do have. Bye for now.
been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.